Think about how far we've come as like a species.
Now you've got a little bowl of pills for boners.
Yo, I found this desiccated corpse in a giant rock structure.
And I think if we snort,
obviously this, I'm gonna eat it.
We will get a boner.
Harder and stronger erections. Welcome to Still No Monstros. I'm Sean Swain. This is Sawyer,
as Mike,
and we've got Caitlin sitting here tonight. We are discussing mummies, boners, and our current legacy league.
Mostly
and how they all intersect. Stay tuned to find out.
Thank you, John.
Not entirely sure myself.
Who wants to go first?
Hell yeah. Who wants to go first?
We already talked about mine, the Turbo Depths, Mega 2020 Swing of People.
Sure, but you have a very specific list that has been changed since we discussed that.
But we'll get to it.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
It's been leagueified, because when in this league, we're doing it different.
This is the exact same list I registered up at EW last year.
Oh, okay. Well, I built my deck to kind of be versatile in the league situation, because you're going to be playing best of five.
Mm-hmm.
First two matches, first two games, no sideboard. Sideboards after that, so you have to be able to answer almost a little bit of everything.
Yeah, your pre-board games are arguably more important than your post-board games, because
you got to run it back.
Yeah, coming up into your sideboard games on the back foot sucks.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty devastating. So I think, just kicking us off, I'll go first. I'll talk about my Rug Delver list that I registered with a couple of spicy one-ofs. And I'll discuss, we're 2 weeks into the league now, so Sean and I just played our second league match today. So I will discuss my rounds, and I'll kick us off. I'm playing Rug Delver, and I've got... Yeah,
not really.
I'm into it. I'm super about this list. We spent several hours at work after hours kind of going over this list and finalizing everything. So right off the top, we've got four Delvers, obviously. Four Terramanders, two Hooting Mandrills, a Brazen Borrower, and a True Name Nemesis. I'm really digging my creature package right now, although I have some issues. I guess I'm kind of hit and miss on it. I don't know. Four Ponders, four Brainstorms, easy stuff. Four Force of Wills, four Dazes, no surprises there either. I have a Force of Negation and a Counterspell, like hard actual two blue Counterspell. Four Lightning Bolts, two Vapor Snags, a Magmatic Sinkhole, which is also kind of fighting Terramander along with the Hooting Mandrills, but I'm kind of okay with it. Four Stifles and a Surgical Extraction make up my entire main board minus lands. We've got four Wastelands, eight Fetches spread out amongst three Misty Rainforests, three Flooded Strands, and two Polluted Deltas. And then to tie everything off, we've got three Volcanic Islands, two Tropical Islands, and one Basic Island. So that's my list. Coming into the league, I know just from previous leagues, we've got lots of Reanimator, Turbo Depths, lands, actual hard lands, Splashing Blue this go around for Oko,
mm-hmm.
and that mess. But
we've got two different forms of storm going on. We've
absolutely.
Got traditional Tendril Storm. And then we've got our
Ad
Nauseam Tendril Storm. Sorry. And we've got our buddy Norm's homebrew-ish thing that sometimes makes goblins, sometimes
will tendrils you.
Yeah, sometimes.
It's a weird test list with Underworld Breach.
And Echo of Eons.
And Echo of Eons.
So give yourself more card draw and stuff.
Kind of interesting. So right out of the gate, I'll talk about...
We've also got a couple of modern decks that have snuck in with Lotus Petals.
Yeah. But hey, you know,
they're
like,
not doing badly.
They're not. And more power to them. I'm just happy that we've got people playing Legacy in any shape or size. And as a budget podcast, jamming four Lotus Petals
into a modern deck
is fine to me.
A-okay.
Yeah. And you want to throw a Price of Progress
into
it
makes
burn
them
deck.
Better.
Yeah.
It really does.
I'm about it.
Giving them access to more fast mana just makes fast decks go faster.
Yeah. So my one of choices are obviously to try and shore up my difficult matchups right out of the gate so that I can go into game 3, 4, and 5, hopefully not having to make it to game 5. Because, like I said, I'm trying to get around. I went into this league with the intention to not lose to Merit Lage and to not lose to Storm.
You did not lose to Merit Lage.
I did not lose to Merit Lage. Force of Will won me the game.
Force of Will absolutely did win you the game.
Pretty fantastic. So right there, we've got 2 Vapor Snags, a Surgical Extraction, 4 Stifles, a Brazen Borrower, and the Wastelands are the only real, like, hard answers to things that are trying to make 2020s. Storm with Stifle. I opted not to play a Fluster Storm because I'm not super worried about that Storm matchup as it is. I just know that I don't want to lose to it. And I'm confident with the one of Surgical Extraction. I feel like it's better in other matchups and still helps out with Storm quite a bit. Stifle is just fantastic in that matchup as well. But yeah, so between Brazen Borrower being able to cast Petty Theft and return your Merit Lage to your hand, Stifle to stifle your Hexmage trigger or your Thespian Stage trigger.
There's any number of things that you can use a Stifle for. The Hexmage, the burden, my Stifles, my Fetches, my Wasteland triggers.
Yeah.
He can even, if he really wanted to, stop me from paying 3 mana to take a counter off manually. I don't know why he would, but it's an option he has.
Frustration.
Yeah. And God, there's a lot of that.
I mean, tilting is a valid strategy.
Absolutely. 100%. And so far, I feel like having 4 Terramanders is wrong. We opted for the highest threat density at 1 mana as possible. Delver as a 4-of is a guaranteed and kind of mainstay of the deck. Delver is only good if he's flipped and your opponent isn't doing anything. So,
yeah, this is like one of your favorite phrases recently.
Yeah.
Delver is only good if your opponent is not playing Magic, and to an extent you're right.
So having all of my counterspells and Wastelands and Stifles and Surgical Extraction is just a really good way to kind of get that across. But Terramander at 4-of makes sequencing in this deck crucial, because there are also 3 really important delve spells in the deck that I'm trying to cast early, and having to remove 5 cards out of my graveyard when the Terramander in play is
awful. You remove them? I thought they just had to be in there.
Well, so to delve for Hooting Mandrels,
yeah,
or Magmatic Sinkhole, both of which
reduce,
have a delve,
yeah,
of 5. Obviously, I don't have to delve 5 every time. And I'm doing quite a bit of fetching and wastelanding, so it's not so bad. But there are definitely some times where I'm trying to make Terramander a Tombstalker, and I can't because I also really need just more threats, and having a Hooting Mandrels in hand is difficult. So sequencing is key. I need to be able to adapt and then cast Hooting Mandrels, or adapt and then cast Magmatic Sinkhole. But as far as one ofs go, Force of Negation, Counterspell, Surgical Extraction, Magmatic Sinkhole, and Brazen Borrower, as well as True Name Nemesis, but I'm not super... True Name Nemesis is True Name. Like, there's no real thought that went into it. I actually cut it down from 2 to 1 so that I could play Brazen Borrower, rounding out a full 12 threats. So I'm happy with my one-ofs. Counterspell kind of seems like it's not what Delver is trying to do. A lot of I'm sure that when this makes it to air, people...
It's a flex spot.
It is a flex spot.
You could put Chain of Vapors in there. You could put another Force of Negation in there. You could put Chain Lightning in there. There's things you could do.
There are other things. But so far, right now, Counterspell hasn't been terrible. I got to Counterspell a Reanimate.
And that felt good, didn't it?
Yeah, I played a Terramander against Riker, who's playing Reanimator, obviously. Terramander, and then I attacked him the next turn, played a land and passed, and he went to reanimate a thing, and I just counterspelled it. Just hard counterspell, and he had to, like...
Double take.
Yeah, because it's such a spicy little one of... Especially in a Rug Delver deck. trying to be as mana efficient as possible. That was initially a spell pierce. And I think there was a spell snare floating around the list as well that got cut. And I don't know if cutting that was right, but I'm undefeated, so I feel like that's pretty cool. I beat Reanimator after going to game five of the just probably most wonderful games of Magic I've ever played. I got blown out games one and two. So I go into game three losing. Like, if I lose this next one, I'm done. So I really had to rely on my sideboard, which I'm actually pretty happy with. I'm really digging this sideboard. I've got an Ancient Grudge, two Grafdigger's Cage, a Force of Negation, an Engineered Explosives, two Flusterstorms, two Veil of Summers, a Sulfur Elemental, two Alpine Moons, a Surgical Extraction, a Caracas, and a Crop Rotation. So...
Fucking Alpine Moon.
Fucking Alpine Moon. Let me tell you about Alpine Moon.
Tell us, Sawyer.
Alpine Moon today won me a game.
No. I lost that game because I kept a hand with three Thespian Stages, Verdant Catacombs, and two Veil of Summers. And then proceeded to draw my last Thespian Stage and pretty much nothing else.
I took turn one to just cast Alpine Moon, naming Dark Depths, and watched Sean look at his hand, look at the board, look at his hand.
And mentally move on to game four.
Yeah, scratch his head and just wait for the beats. It was enjoyable. I really dig that. Turns out, Grafdigger's Cage resolved against Black-Red Reanimator doesn't really have anything to...
They could discard your hands with a mask or a Thoughtseize.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but there's not much they can do about it once it hits the field.
Once it hits the field, it's pretty much done.
They need a Tides About Tyrant.
Well, so Riker did a really cool thing.
Ashen Rider works,
although,
too.
So he entombed for a Shenanigans.
Mm-hmm. He's been talking about that for weeks.
So he could dredge Shenanigans and blow up my Grafdigger's Cage, and then dredge Shenanigans, reanimate a thing, blow up my Grafdigger's Cage. So he, at the end of my turn, entombs Shenanigans, and during his upkeep, I surgical bit.
Oh, everybody felt great about
and
that.
And you're yelling, and you are angry with me for playing Eldrazi? You are a dirty, slimy person. You should feel bad about what you do to people.
Technically, this is four-color Delver, but it's the fairest four-color Delver because it's not playing Deathrite
or Oko.
Or Oko. Well, I mean, like, you know, whatever. My one black card is Surgical Extraction in the main board. But, you know, it's not Ren and Six doing Shenanigans that way.
And Okos are hard to come by, so that's also understandable.
Man, and you know... I know that playing Oko in this list would make it better and more competitive, and people are into that, and I just hate the card so much that I'm not playing it on principle.
Yeah, I'm building Eldrazi Tron now because Mycosynth Lattice is banned.
Yeah, they're $15 right now because I work at a card shop, and that's what I do.
You absolutely could have.
I'm
chose
not willing to spend
a $3
on
Galen.
Rude. So rude.
Well, I've been sitting here looking up Delver lists. There hasn't been a lot of Oko that has topped, at least. Maybe people are playing it. Maybe in just more control shell.
Yeah.
So.
Hell, it's got the consistency. You're pretty much hard control. But you are hard control.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's a. It's tempo control. Mm-hmm. It says turn one, I play a threat. Turn two.
Yeah.
Or turn one, still I counter your thing, play my threat. Counter strategically. So that way,
just throw some wastelands and some stifles in there, and then you know, all the while I'm pressuring you.
Mana denial, counter spells, and a beater that hits pretty hard. 3 damage on every turn is real hard.
Yeah, or I'll hit you a couple of times for one, and then
7 turns.
Now I have a 5/5.
7 or 8 turns. It's a slow clock, but he can control you. You can take my word on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's what Delver does always.
It fared me pretty well on the last league. I'm undefeated going into week three. Sean, I love you, but...
Yeah, no.
We played some pretty fantastic games. Yeah,
everything but game three was a good game. I'm not upset with everything anymore.
Good. That's good. I'm glad that we can be friends again.
So the way that our match ended was I made a 20-20, and he went to...
During my combat step.
Yeah, during his combat step.
I'm attacking for lethal.
No, you weren't attacking for lethal. You were attacking...
I had two flip Delvers and a Terramander, and you were at 6.
whatever. He was attacking me. Mm-hmm. And I was going to make it. Just by that, by the math there, I still would have survived and been able to swing at him. But so I make it. Marilege hits the board. He void snares it.
Vapor snag.
So he returns it to my hand and pay one. And this is the first time I've ever gotten to cast it. But not of this world. It's a wonderful card that counters target spell, targeting a permanent you control. And if that permanent power is 7 or greater, it's free. It's wonderful. So it's a free card.
It's the first time
I've ever gotten to cast it. And cast it, countering his vapor snag, and then he forces a will. Just because he's such a piece of shit.
That's why. Not because it's in his deck so he could do that. But
I'm a terrible person who's made terrible life decisions.
I'm glad you can finally admit it to us and yourself, Sawyer.
And that's why I'm playing Rogue Delver and Legacy this league.
Do better. You're better than this.
With hard counterspell, a surgical extraction, and 2 vapor snags.
I lied. This is like his idiom, his thing. It's either this or...
Just think.
It could have been Infect.
I could have been playing Infect this league, and I would still be undefeated. I'm into that deck.
Infect's scary.
Infect in Legacy is so much fun. I love just casually casting a Glistener Elf on turn one and watching my opponent
lose their mind.
Completely rethink everything that they're doing for the rest of the game.
Dang.
Suddenly, turn one ponder sounds terrible.
Yeah. Moving on to the next bit of spice, let's talk about Caitlin's wonderful
mix-up of a deck
that we threw together because we didn't have 4 Grover the Burn Wills and 4 Punishing Fires.
I went into this Legacy League actually preparing for you. I had anticipated there also being Chalice of the Void because I thought you were playing Eldrazi.
There's still Chalice of the Void.
Fun fact, we are still playing Eldrazi, just different Eldrazi.
And Chalice.
Oh, cool. So my choices matter still.
All the other cards are way different, though.
Yeah.
This looks like fun.
I was excited
super fun.
To wasteland you, and now I'm less excited to do so.
What's your record so far in the league?
So record so far is 1-1.
Cool.
I did lose to Norm, who is playing his... Norm Brew shenanigan bullcrap.
Underworld Breach.
Tests were intentionally made to be clunky
and confusing.
And
poorly written.
It would be that. It's bad tests that can get there in weird ways.
I think it's probably easy to pilot, but we're just so used to seeing Norm pilot things in a bad way. And him still do okay because sometimes he reads his cards.
Sometimes he does read his cards, and sometimes he does not.
Yeah. Sometimes he misses a trigger, and sometimes he wins the game.
Yep. Anyway, what are you doing over there, Caitlin?
What are you doing?
So,
monster.
There's a Bone Crusher Giant on the table, right? There are
yes,
4
there is 4 Bone Crusher Giants in this deck. So this deck is still close to home, because we are still playing some Eldrazi. We've got Reality Smasher, of course, which is your Trample Haste 5/5. And your Thought Not Seer, which says I get to exile a card out of your hand, which nobody likes. Everything else in this deck is red. We've got some Goblin Rabble Master here.
That's not true. There's a Chalice over there.
Bone Crusher Giant. Simeon Spirit Guide, just to kind of get that red mana if you don't already have it in your hand. Sudden Shock, because it does have split sections. Split second. 2 of a Fiery Confluence, because dealing 6 to your opponent is just as good as playing a Bolt. Here we go.
Or having the option to do 3 to the board, or blow up 3 artifacts. All of these are...
Yeah, it's such a super versatile card.
Yeah. In Legacy, I feel like it's a little bit more fun, because you can very easily cast it on turn 1 or 2.
It does a lot for 4 mana.
It does. The one that I'm curious about, I'm a little curious about the Blood Sun, why Blood Sun instead of Blood Moon, but why Sudden Shock?
Because we didn't have 4 Punishing Fire.
Punishing Fire, because Punishing Fire went with Grover the Burn Rules, make you gain life, Punishing Fire.
Just plink them down.
So since we didn't have those, we actually subbed the Groves for Conclusion Forest and put in Sudden Shocks.
So that way we still make the diamond to cast the Eldrazi's, and it still makes a red when we need to.
Honestly, Sudden Shock is...
I like the Corpulsion Forest. I'm just... Why one damage?
It's two damage.
I'm a little more impressed.
Creature or player.
I'm a
two damage that somebody can't interact with.
Like, I'm a little more impressed with it. Yeah, I get it.
But no, and...
I'm still underwhelmed.
We are a budget magic podcast.
Yeah, I feel in budget magic.
Better. All I'm saying is Bolt's better.
I'm borrowing so many of these cards.
Yeah.
And we do have the Blood Sun to take care of things like Dark Depths.
Wasteland.
Also, Wasteland.
Fetchlands
also. It does cut off your Fetchlands, and they do not make a mana with Blood Sun.
Yeah, so...
Well, they do make a mana, they just don't get the extra abilities.
Well, no, so I wouldn't be able to tap my Polluted Delta for...
You can't tap the Polluted Delta for a mana. So essentially, they have a dead land on the field.
Yep.
Which is the same with Dark Depths. Like, you have Dark Depths on the field that now gets to sit there.
It's still named Dark Depths.
It is still named Dark Depths. Home.
And also the combo in the deck, because the deck plays... For City of Traders, if you have a Blood Sun out and a City of Traders, the next land you play doesn't make the City of Traders go away.
Right, because it's lost all of its abilities.
Yeah, it just so makes
it still makes
mana. But it still makes mana. It still does what it does.
Ancient Tomb still hurts you, though, because it's part of the mana ability.
Right, so it still makes two, right?
Yeah.
It does what it says it does.
It still does what it says it does. It just no longer leaves the field because you played a land.
Interesting. Okay, yep. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All upside when you're playing it.
It's kind of scary because, like, my...
Oh, and draw a card.
Oh, yeah, and also draw a card. When it comes in, draw a card.
That's very neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Your lands do not the things that you want them to, but I get to draw a card.
So, that's also why I decided to play the one of... Basic Island, because I had kind of anticipated there being some number of Blood Moons and or Assassin's Trophies floating around, so I need to be able to like snag that basic.
Yeah.
I'm typically
basic.
No.
Yeah.
Basic's not proof against Assassin's Trophy.
Just so that I don't get like completely. Oh,
okay.
So
you can go grab it.
So I have a target
to grab.
Gotcha. To grab in the event that I get Assassin's Trophy. Which
Assassin's Trophy? Yeah.
Fun fact: I did get Assassin's Trophy.
A real fun spiciness in this deck, though, that I had so much fun with is Chandra, Torch of Defiance, and Chandra, Awakened Inferno.
I am in love with Chandra, Awakened Inferno.
Yes!
There is not a cooler six-mana Planeswalker, period.
There isn't.
I don't care what anybody says.
She can't be countered. She gives your opponents emblems that just hurt them.
And they can't get rid of it. It's there. I give you 10 of them if I want to.
She's cooler than Ogo could ever be.
Yes.
Because... God, she's such a cool Planeswalker. She does so many things.
And I love her roll down ability. Just deal 3 to everything that's not an elemental. Just you know, I have a 5/5
against...
on the field, but kill all of your stuff.
Yep.
Useless against John.
Yeah, for sure.
Does nothing against John. You did it. You found Chandra's weakness. It's our friend's...
John Stewart.
Mono ball. Yeah. Mono elemental deck.
Oh, John Stewart.
He's got vampires in there, too.
That poor man.
Mono ball lighting.
I also did not realize before playing this deck how scared people get whenever you cast a Rabble Master, and then you follow it up the next turn with a second one.
We've talked
about
this.
We've discussed
this. It's a two-turn clock.
On the same turn, yeah.
It's a two-turn clock starting now.
Yeah, like, hey, pass. You have one turn left.
Norm lost one of the games because he got so frazzled in his head that I had 2 Rabble Masters and a Chandra on the field.
Yeah. And a Chandra?
Yeah.
Jesus, I would have been frazzled too. Fuck off.
I don't. So
I don't think anyone could come back from that, not unless you had like the nuts.
I have to hope that I have 2 counterspells in hand, and like, I'm playing a lot of counterspells, but like, holy shit, man.
Yeah.
If you go Rabble Master and I'm like, counter it, and you're like, cool, Rabble Master. I'm like, I fucking lose.
What?
Let's follow that up with a Reality Smasher.
Oh, no. Yeah, and then you shove an Eldrazi into play, and I just, man.
It's not as big as a 2020.
It's not, but I would rather deal with your 2020. I can deal with your 2020.
There's only one of them.
I need you to stop saying that.
I'm really,
it's important to my ego that you stop saying that.
I'm cool with like 1-for-1 threats, but like, man, and I gotta discard a card to Vapor Snag Reality Smasher.
Yeah.
And then it just comes down next turn. And it's not gone forever.
So the red deck is just the mainstays of Eldrazi, Thought Not Reality Smasher, and then your
just
chalices, simians to mana,
yep,
and a bunch of burn spells by way of Fiery, Sudden Shock, Bone Crusher Giant, who's also a 4/3 after you already hit something for 2 that can't be prevented.
No, my favorite thing is just to cast it as the instant stomp and then immediately hard cast it.
Yeah, because why not?
Stomp, sure, absolutely. 4/3 that you now have to deal with.
And I mean, so you're going to get there as fast as humanly possible through Chromox and Simian Spirit Guide. So all of your threats are coming down so much faster than
your average potato.
Anybody should be comfortable with.
I feel and like then, when you can turn one a Thought Not Seer and follow it up with a chalice, there's a problem.
Man, if I kept like a super cool hand that didn't have any counter spells and just go chalice on one, I lose. Period.
Half your deck is gone, including most of your threats.
I have one out. I have one out in my entire deck to turn one chalice on one if I don't have a counter spell. It's Brazen Borrower.
Brazen Borrower is real good.
And I can't cast any of the spells to dig to it. So that's fantastic. That's scary.
Yeah.
Have to have the nuts to counter that.
Absolutely. And then, you know, when Chandra hits the board, big Chandra or little Chandra, either of the Chandras. I mean, if you shove 4-mana Chandra into play on turn 1, and then the next turn follow it up, or the turn after that even, with big Chandra, and you do nothing else.
But Chandra.
The game is probably over.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what is anyone going to do to that?
Yeah, in playtesting, I just lost to that. Both of those Chandras have such a high loyalty count at the start.
It's hard to deal with.
Yeah.
I mean, the big Chandra comes in with 6 loyalty counters right off the bat.
What is her ult?
Her ult is minus X. She deals X damage to target creature or planeswalker. And if a permanent is dealt damage this way, it is exiled.
So it's not even super... It's like, her ult and her roll down are relevant ult, and effective.
Her ult can take care of a Blightsteel. If I remember... Read that again?
Yeah, no, it's if creature it would be or planeswalker. It? Yeah.
If it would be destroyed, it doesn't take care of it.
Yeah, no, it's if it would be destroyed.
Okay,
her ultimate really is just the +2 that puts her to 8. Counters, and then your opponent's taking a damage, damage, and then 3 damage.
Yeah, her ult
her ult alone is a 6-turn clock.
You just roll her up, and you do nothing else.
Unless they get something on board, then you just want to sweep it. Oh no, you've got to take a turn off of rolling it up, and they're still taking the damage.
That's fine, you're still taking 2.
Yeah.
You have an option to sweep when it comes in, you have an option to 6 damage something, which is huge. Because not many things have 6 toughness or more.
It's really just prime time.
I mean, it can literally take care of your Oko on my turn. I can cast her on my turn and get rid of your Oko.
You can kill a Reality Smasher with it and still have her on the board.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Because you don't even have to discard a card for that either, because it's an ability.
Yep. So what's in the board?
So in the board, we have 2 Caracas, which Sean knows all about those lands.
Oh, yes, I do. That's why we'll get to my deck again.
We have a Phyrexian Revoker as a 1/1. 4 ley lines for things like Reanimator or anything that's going to be dealing with your graveyard. A Sorcerer Spyglass. A 2nd Chandra Awakened Inferno.
More Chandra.
3 Dead and Gones. Dead is just kind of utility for creatures. It literally just deals 2 damage to creatures. But Gone can return a creature to their hand. If you need to kill them that turn, return it to your hand, swing out.
Bounce a Grizzlebrand or other random thing put into play. Mm-hmm. Bounce a Merit Lage.
Yeah. Then we have a 2-of Pyroblast, which I did not see in my games against Norm.
What is it?
Pyroblast.
Yeah, Pyroblast.
Counter Echo of Eons.
Good old mono red counter spell.
And then a 1-of Trinisphere for things like Burn, any kind of deck, Elves.
Hell, you just stick a Trinisphere against anybody. I feel like Trinisphere is one of those cards that kind of just
catch all.
You just find yourself shuffling in every post sideboard game because
yeah, Trinisphere literally can screw anybody on turn 1, because turn 1 they're going to be like, oh, there's a Trinisphere on the field. I guess I'm going to play a land and say go.
Hope I can counter it.
Hope I have a Force of Will in hand so I can counter on turn 0.
Yeah, I mean, like as a person playing cantrips, I will totally throw 2 cards out of my hand
to make sure that you don't have to pay 3.
To be able to ponder on turn 1. but Trinisphere is gross.
God, I feel like that card just kind of comes in against everything because it's just a catch-all.
Yeah, no, it is definitely a catch-all, especially in Legacy.
Right up there, it's right up there with Chalice of the Void. It's that just fuck everything.
Especially decks that don't have any fast mana, because then you stick that, and then the other decks that are trying to brainstorm to find their second or third land, or Veteran Explorer to find their second or third land.
Yeah.
You have to naturally draw it now, and you're going to be so behind because of it.
I love Veteran Explorer. I will block that card all day long.
Good.
I mean, go get two mountains? Dope.
I'll eat the damage.
Yeah, my dudes fly.
I don't care.
I only run one basic.
Oh, wow, that Veteran Explorer is dead. I get my one basic.
I wasn't even going to run a basic. My boss at like 2 in the morning was like, dude,
you have to.
Basic island. Have to.
Yeah, no.
We cut all of the green cards but Hooting Mandrels out of the deck. We cut Tarmogoyf completely. He's like, you don't need 3 tropical islands. Fuck that. Basic island. Get there. And I love it. It's turned out.
Yeah. Basic island's huge.
All right. I mean, especially if someone is actually seriously playing budget, and they don't have the Wastelands and they Ghost Quarter, you have a valid target for that.
Absolutely.
No.
You talked about my deck before. My deck is Turbo Depths. I've got Dark Depths, Thespian Stage, Urborg to protect it. I've got some Thought Seizes and Duresses to tear about some early hands. The only spice I've kind of gotten here right now is I've got 2 Into the Norths so that I can grab a Dark Depths to play on turn 1 if I'm playing somebody that doesn't play Wasteland. And I've got 3 Pithing Needles, which are just my very favorite things. To take care of pesky things like Wastelands and Caracases. Fuck your Caracases and Okos. Whatever happens to be on the board. Sideboards.
Blind naming Wasteland.
Blind naming Wasteland. It's one of the biggest threats, and it's so common in Legacy that I need to. It's always the first thing I name, just in case.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It's not the only thing that hurts me, but it's one of the biggest. It's one of the biggest that prevents me from setting up and going off.
And literally, since any deck can play it, mm-hmm. it's your most valid target on turn 1.
Mm-hmm. And I've got the option of naming people's fetches too, if I happen to catch a look at their hand first, take them off the all their mana kind of thing.
Yeah, duress you. See that you've got 2 Misty Rainforests mm-hmm. and nothing else.
Yeah, we'll
name Misty Rainforest. With that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Sideboard's fairly standard too. We've got some Veil of Summer, some to deal with Storm, some Force of Vigor to deal with Ensnaring Bridge and that kind of thing. Rite of Consumption's always good for control matchups. Dryad Arbor, a Caracas of my own to bounce pesky things like. You know, what's it called? Grizzlebrand?
Grizzlebrand.
Not of this world to protect my 2020 and some surgical extractions.
Would they reanimate Iona against you? I don't feel like they would.
If they did, they'd name green, and I don't particularly. It's an inconvenience, but we've mentioned this before. I can win the game without playing a single spell.
That's true.
And even if they name black just to cut you off from ripping stuff from their hand.
Yeah, Vampire, Hexmage, and Thoughtseize. You're not taking too much away from me, even if you name green. You're getting rid of my Crop Rotation, my Sylvan Safekeeper, my Elvish Reclaimers, and my Into the North. I'm just going to draw into something eventually if you're not doing anything but trying to keep me off my game.
Well, I mean, if there's an Iona in play.
Oh, that's true. She is what, a 9/9? 7/7? 18/12? Overture?
I thought she was an 18 or an 8/8. I don't know. She's huge.
She's big.
She's a really fast clock. So it doesn't matter what
their names, never mind.
It doesn't matter what they name.
Essentially, she's a 3-turn clock.
Yeah.
You've got three turns to make a 20/20.
You can't cast green spells now.
No searching.
What?
Oh, yeah. No. It might be a bigger problem than I've led on to.
Yeah.
But I've got things like Abrupt Decay.
Absolutely. That doesn't...
Actually, can I play Abrupt Decay if she names green or black?
No.
No. I
don't think so.
No, you can't.
You also can't play Assassin's Trophy.
Got a Wasteland.
You do have a Wasteland.
And I still don't need to cast spells to...
No. Definitely not.
To make it 2020.
Yeah, which is right. Pretty...
I'm going back to that. Bajuga Bog? Oh, that's right. I've got a Bajuga Bog and a Sajiri Step in here, too. That's main board.
I like the Sajiri Step main board.
Bajuga Bog has turned out to come in handy against Storm, against...
Hell, you bogged me today, mm-hmm. and that just fucked my day up.
Yeah, you had 2 Terramanders on board. It was wonderful.
Yeah. Well, and so Sajiri Step won you a game today as well.
Yep. No, that's why Sajiri stepped in, because people play things like Delver, things absolutely. That have flying. I need to be able to get around this, and sometimes I need to be able to get around them now. So Sajiri step, pro blue.
Hell, pro black to get around a Grizzlebrand that's shoved into play. Like you're,
it's a good way to get around anything that's flying, yeah.
And in a deck that plays four crop rotations, all of your lands are immediately at your disposal.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I really...
And that's why I've got a Caracas in the sideboard, too. I really like that. Because it's a good land that I can just get into play when I need it.
Yep.
That's all I got. Let's move on to what I think is the most spicy deck at the table and possibly in the league.
The whole
honestly.
League.
I give it that.
But it hasn't been very winning yet, but...
That's fine. It's still spicy as fuck.
We're here to talk about this.
Tell me about making squirrels, because next to 2020, squirrels are my favorite.
So we have to start out the deck with the card that is the most important here.
Tell everybody what you're playing.
It's Nykfit. Playing Nykfit with Living Wishes,
Still don't understand the name.
Yeah, there's a whole story about it, but I don't remember.
It's Dead Guy L 2.0.
Yeah.
It's just a dumb name for a
old
deck. Yep.
Yeah. So, Living Wishes and Deep Forest Hermits, which is the card from Modern Masters that, instead of having Echo like Deranged Hermit, it has Vanishing 3, so he sticks around to give your squirrels +1/+1. He's a 1/1, brings four squirrels into play. They all have +1/+1. 9 power for 5 mana. Seems pretty reasonable.
Shit's nuts.
You just got so many squirrels all the time.
Was that pun intended?
Yes.
Squirrels!
It's nuts.
I'm letting him use my Odyssey squirrel.
I'm gonna cast this one and she's bringing for it.
My name is Sean Swain and I endorse this deck.
So
he's an Eagle Scout.
I am an Eagle Scout. So is Mike.
Yeah, I am.
Yes,
the main card of the deck really is Living Wish, so regardless of what I'm playing, I have access to my sideboard. And I made my sideboard literally 15 individual cards that I could go get
Wishboard.
As soon as I know what my opponent's playing so I can have a better chance at not losing, which has been kind of tough lately. But here's the sideboard. So for Living Wish to get any of these cards... Collector Roof, because turning off artifacts is good.
Yep.
Phyrexian Revoker, because turning off abilities is good.
People have activated abilities.
Yep. Scavenging Ooze to get rid of graveyards and grow a big boy. Corsair of Krufix, let's gain some life, get some card advantage. I have a spicy card, Uro, Titan of Nature's Wrath, in the sideboard.
Love it.
Just so that way, if I wind up playing against Burn, ETB, gain 3 life... Put a land, draw a card, put a land from my hand into play, and then for 4 mana, which if I've wished for and played Uro, then I will have at least 6 mana on my next turn, so I should be able to do the escape cost and jam him in and then just have a 6/6 beater that gains me life and draws me cards.
That's insane.
It hasn't come up yet, but when it does, it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be that spice.
We have a Tireless Tracker for fair matchups where I need some card advantage. Ramanak Excavator, because we're sacrificing our lands with another spicy card, Orcish Lumberjack in the main.
You're a monster.
Questing Beast, it's a real good card against Planeswalker decks.
It's just a really good card.
It's a 4/4 Vigilance, Death Touch, Haste with 3 other abilities.
It's a Billadonkey.
It's a big dumb beater that does so many things.
It can't be blocked by creatures power 2 or less. It's
just fantastic.
I think the one that everybody forgets about, but people, I think it's one of the most important ones, is combat damage
you control
can't be prevented.
So all of my damage is happening.
It gets through protection. That's insane.
Yep. And then if I deal damage to the player with Questing Beast, it deals that much to a planeswalker they control.
It's phenomenal.
Second most wordy card in Magic, right?
Nine words shorter than Chains of Mephistopheles.
That's insane.
That's awesome.
And that card's basically a dissertation on how people can't draw cards.
Yeah.
It
says you're not allowed to draw cards. If you draw a set, you would draw a card, discard it, and then go fuck yourself?
Essentially.
The Oracle text is 3 paragraphs less than the actual card text. I'm on board.
Yeah.
I'm for it.
Next one up is Thrun the Last Troll, because who doesn't like things that can't be countered have hexproof, and regenerate.
Yeah, if you stick a Thrun against me, I'm
having a bad time.
I am a sad boy. Yeah. You're flying. Yeah.
That's about it, though.
But a 3-2 isn't as fast as a 4-4 that I cannot deal with.
Yeah. And then we have a big boy for Storm because it's really awesome. It's a 6-mana Ruukthar the Unbowed. Vigilance Reach has to attack. Whenever a player casts a non-creature spell, they take 6. So I play all like tons of creature spells. So yeah, I'm not worried about taking 6.
You can literally cast Ruukthar on, what is it, turn 2, turn 3? How fast can you do that?
Turn 3, because turn 2 I'd be wishing for it. Okay. Typically.
Yeah, this was all his side.
Oh, this is all your wish board.
Yeah, this
holy
is
holy shit. Yeah, he's got some.
This is so cool.
Yeah, we're not in the main deck yet. We're not in the
main board yet.
The 4 living wishes get all of these cards. So these are
this
all
is the this is a functional main board.
Yeah.
This is a functional sideboard.
I pay a 2-mana tax to access these cards.
It's functionally your 75 is
my 75. I don't ever sideboard cards in or out because living wish is just all these cards. And then I have 5 lands. One of them is a Maze of Ith because I don't have a Tabernacle because that shit's expensive.
And we're budget. Still no Mox.
Yeah.
Still no Mox.
Still no Tabernacle. We have a Caracas because it's fantastic.
I'm borrowing 2 Volcanic Islands. I own my deck.
That's nice.
It does feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a Phyrexian Tower because it combos with... Phyrexian Tower combos with Veteran Explorer, and it's just tons of extra mana if I have a creature to sacrifice.
Yeah.
So I don't need a Cabal Therapy to get the extra mana from Veteran Explorer. I just need a Phyrexian Tower. Yeah,
you tap 1 and then make 4. Is that what that says? Yeah. Basically.
Yeah.
2 black and
whatever basic lands I get out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we have a Ghost Quarter as well for. You know, anything you might need Ghost Quarter for, Dark Depths, whatever. And then a Thespian Stage.
If you want a Dark Depths.
If I want a Dark Depths too, so mine won't have counters.
So I love this interaction, right? The I'm gonna make 2020 in response.
I'm gonna make
my own 2020 off of your Dark Depths with my Thespian Stage.
Yeah, we were playtesting and that happened.
We have 2020s now.
Yep. I've got a Sijiri step though, and that's the answer to that
one. Yeah, exactly. Sure. I don't have an answer to that, but my deck's designed to answer something and then overcome with other advantage, but in that game I didn't draw any more of my other stuff.
Sure. So let's move on to this super sweet
board. So the rest of the 75 main deck, pretty much. 4 Oath of Nissa because we have a wild selection of Planeswalkers in here that, because of Oath of Nissa, we'll be able to cast on turn 2 or 3 pretty consistently as long as we don't shit out and not get lucky and don't have any of our 8 mana dorks in our opening hand. 2 Thoughtseize because we don't need like 6 Thoughtseizes. It's fine. 4 Cabal Therapies because of the combo with Veteran Explorer.
Absolutely.
And on that note...
And why not? You're playing it's a deck really that is kind of soft to disruption anyway.
Yeah, so I need to rip hands ASAP. 4 Veteran Explorer to go along with the Cabal Therapy and the Friction Towers.
Package.
We have 4 Orcish Lumberjacks. And nobody knows what that is, and it's great. It's...
He literally played it in games we were testing, and I looked at it, like, I just barely looked at it, and I was like, oh shit, that's a Goblin Welder. I can't play my artifacts right now.
Yeah.
And then realize it's not a Goblin Welder, it's a freaking Orcish Lumberjack.
Yeah. Read Orcish Lumberjack for us, please.
So it says...
For those of you who might not know.
Tap, sacrifice a forest to add 3 mana in any combination of red or green to your mana pool. Play this ability as an interrupt. That doesn't matter anymore. It's tap, sack a forest... Add 3 mana. It can be a dual land, it can be a shock land, it can be a basic forest.
As long as it's the forest.
Yeah. You make 4 mana, well, 3 mana from that, but you can tap the land. Yeah. You tap the 1 land, and it's 4 total, and then you play a land for turn, 5 mana on turn 2. It's fantastic. So our Planeswalkers to go along with the weird Oath of Nissa. We have two Nissa Who Shakes the World, because that is just insane value. It's really hard to beat.
Yeah, that card's fantastic.
Yeah. Make a 3-3 that's a land, and eventually my lands are indestructible, and I'll get all my lands out of the deck.
Sounds really good. Sounds value. So good. Especially if you're sacking them all Orcish Lumberjack.
Yeah, exactly. And then we have two Ramunap Excavators in the main to help bring those lands
to
back.
Kind of fight through that.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's why the ones in the sideboard too, because you can turn two, wish, go get a Ramunap, play my land from the graveyard on the next turns.
You son of a bitch, there's an Oko in that list.
Yep, there's one Oko. Because we only own one Oko that Caitlin pulled out of the pack. And it was a nice one. It's the borderless. Not foil, but still borderless is nice. We have an Ashiok Nightmare Muse from the new set, because we can bounce a Meral Age or exile some other card from my opponent's hand after dealing with a threat.
And I mean, honestly, or sometimes just making a dude that...
making a 2-3.
Yeah, that they can't block... like they can't attack into, because if it blocks...
they exile cards from their deck.
Yep. And if you just keep making that every turn, I lost in limited to that. Obviously, it's limited, so like my card pool is significantly less than like a 60-card deck. But
yeah, but I can play that on turn two in Legacy.
Yeah, and that's nuts!
Yeah, it's insane.
God, that's so cool.
We have a Angrath the Flame Chain, because turn two, make my opponent discard a card and lose two life is great. -3, gain control of a creature, untap it. Gains haste, sack at the beginning of the next end step, and it has CMC 3 or less. So if I play that after my opponent somehow, for some reason, has made a Meral Age, I could take it, crack them with it. If my opponent today in my matches didn't make me discard it, I was going to cast my Angrath and take my opponent's Grizzlebrand and hit him with it for the win. But he made me discard my Angrath.
Unfortunate.
Yeah. And his... big ability, each opponent loses life equal number of cards in his graveyard. It's incidental.
Not super
huge. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, whatever. I just want to remove something with my Planeswalker and have some kind of control with it. The other planes, I have two more. One of them is Nicobolas Dragon God. He's a bit harder to cast on turn two. I need to have Phyrexian Tower and...
Veteran Explorer.
And Veteran Explorer.
Do you have Phyrexian Tower on the main board?
Yeah, I have two.
Okay.
I should have gone with three, I think.
The other one's in the board?
Yeah. Okay. So I can wish for it. But Nicobolas has...
I like that.
Yeah, it's awesome. Nicobolas has all the abilities of all the other Planeswalkers in play.
Which is pretty fantastic if your opponent is like, Chase the Mind Sculptor! And you're like, I'll just brainstorm.
Yeah. I'll brainstorm with my Nicobolas.
In my Nicbit deck.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Okay.
If I have the turn one Veteran Explorer, so blue green land, plays Veteran Explorer. Next turn, we play the Phyrexian Tower.
Say it again.
You good?
But without hawking a fucking
chewy little loogie there.
No, it's not a loogie. It's all
right. Are you chewing on your
cereal? No, it's a piece of chicken from earlier.
As he chews on it. I think that's a tonsil stone, my dude.
No, it's a piece of chicken. So
you can still taste it.
I've had several, like, I don't know if it's like staph or something in my throat. And my tonsils and back of my throat, there's a bunch of little holes back
there. Yeah, that's where tonsil stones come from. Look up Google tonsil stones. There's a whole subreddit dedicated to it. I bet you
there are YouTube videos.
Huge, nasty deep pockets. You can just like poke with a Q-tip and all of these fucking things will come out. They smell like dog shit. Dog shit smells better than tonsil stones.
No, I believe it. But usually, whenever I get food stuck in them, I can feel it and I usually like reach a fork back there and pull it out, or I'll have to like hock it up. But I usually get whatever's in there.
We were talking about Nicobolas Dragon God.
I have never witnessed you put a fork in the back of your throat.
Sometimes I can reach with my fingers.
Uncontestedly, you are the most interesting person I've ever met.
Yeah, it's a good time.
I learn something new every day.
I love you, Mike.
You are beholden to.
He's a catch.
Babe, there's something stuck in my throat again.
Oh, hell no.
It started when I had like romaine lettuce.
Dick in there.
I'd have like romaine lettuce and like I wouldn't chew up the stem all the way and I'd like have a piece sticking out.
Oh, so you just like mirror. You just like do a piece of lettuce, which you do to a chicken wing. You just pull out the like stem part.
It just happened. So I go to the bathroom because I feel this thing in my throat that I can't identify, and then I open my mouth. I see the lettuce sticking out of some little pocket in there. I'm like, what the fuck is that? I'm like, I reach in back trying to get it out, and then I just grab a fork and like.
We were talking about Nicol Bolas Dragon God, please.
I swear to God, if this gets cut out of the podcast, I'm quitting.
Oh, we could leave it in. We could leave it in.
This is the first episode that's going up.
So how I cast Nicol Bolas Dragon God on turn two.
Please tell me in excruciating detail.
So turn one, tropical island or breeding pool into veteran explorer. Turn two, Phyrexian tower. Sack the dude for two...
For two black.
For two black. Go get a swamp and a mountain. Add blue on the trop or breeding pool. And that is Nicol Bolas Dragon God mana.
On turn two.
God, that's nuts. That's so cool. I love it. You're going like turn one, green creature, turn two, three color, triple black planeswalker. I'm getting there. We're doing it.
Hope it doesn't get countered. So on turn two, it's plus is a really good draw card. Each opponent exiles a card from their hand or a permanent they control. So that's awesome.
That's insane.
The first one's not so bad.
-3.
Everyone after that.
It's every turn after that. Mm-hmm. You're just buried under crucial card advantage. And it comes down on turn two. Mm-hmm. And if you're not playing Force of Will, what do you do to that?
Take a 20-20 for the best.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I haven't played another Planeswalker to deal with it by then. Yeah.
He just living wishes for Mazabeth and you lose.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It'd be great to turn two Nicol Bolas and then turn three Ashiok Nightmare Muse and then make two threes.
God, that's that the top so two cards. Gross.
Or Nicol Bolas and then Oko.
Yeah. Oh, man. You have a 3-3.
I'm excited for us to play because I think we're going to play because I don't have any interaction beyond Thoughtseize and Duress.
Maybe we'll have better matches than we did in testing. Although I think we had good matches in testing.
I think my deck did what it does and yours didn't quite get there ever.
You hadn't quite figured out the lines yet.
Yeah, the most impressive thing you did in testing was make a 20-20 out of my...
Yeah, I did. That was great.
Yeah, you did.
Anyway, the final planeswalker out of the suite.
Still really cool.
Yes, it is. And we just stared at each other for like four turns.
Yeah, I didn't draw any threats after that. I was just like, well, shit.
I have 2020.
We both have
2020s, but we don't have any viable threats.
Merit ledges.
I'm going to swing.
Block.
But if I do,
you can't. Yeah, I know. Like, you just get to stare at each other.
Yep.
Indefinitely.
No!
Nah. He
top decks better because he top decks planeswalkers that do terrible things to you.
And wishes for bullets.
Yeah, that was pretty neat.
Yeah. There's also Chandra Awakened Inferno because who doesn't like planeswalkers that can't be countered?
We went over this before, but I feel like we should go again. She's a house.
The first half hour of this podcast was just a love letter to Chandra the Awakened Inferno.
Yeah. We have a Sylvan Library because I'm playing green and I'm playing things that I need to get more value out of. So
yeah, Sylvan Library is fantastic. Yeah.
If I can every turn bring
green
Storm
card
green,
advantage is a hell of a thing.
Yeah,
it's and great. Green has really cool card advantage in Legacy. Yeah. You've got some really interesting stuff.
I think fucking Library Sylvan Library is probably the best, like the tippy top there. But Veil of Summer is real cool. That's in every format. But
yeah,
there's.
Are you playing any Veil of Summers?
No, I don't have any.
That's unfortunate.
They are out of the budget right now.
I wish that you had let me know that. I have two that I'm not using because I bought a playset because the card is
bonkers.
It's insane. Every time I read it, I become more and more impressed with it.
Yeah, more and more. I think I'm going to put four of them in my sideboard along with the four Not of This World.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. I think I would have put those four in the sideboard and made cuts in the board for four Veil of Summer.
And then you can, you just board those in, and that's fine. They're cards that you can't grab with your Living Wish, but who cares? Because you just bring them in anyway.
Yep. So we also have Tireless Tracker, because turn two-ing a Wish and a Tireless Tracker, or just hard casting a Tireless Tracker and another two mana spell.
Yeah, and I mean, you're bringing so many lands into play all the time.
You're gonna get the clues. You're gonna get yourself some card advantage and make yourself a big boy.
And he gets big so much faster than
Delver.
Scavenger goes is fantastic in your deck, but
it's a niche card, so that's why it's on the Wish. So we have the Tireless Tracker in the main because it's just a fantastic green value card.
Yeah.
I have a Nissa Vastwood Seer because it searches me out of land, and it flips into a walker.
When you have seven lands, which is like what, turn three?
Yeah, if everything goes well. So
if you're not Orcus Lumberjacking, you're
yeah, she can flip real fast. Three Deep Forest Hermit, which is
just a Range Hermit better.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I hate that it's better. It is better. I've just got such a love for Deranged Hermit.
Yeah, Vanishing is so much better than Echo.
Yes.
Yeah. My next Legacy League, I think I'm going to go four Deep Forest Hermit for Deranged Hermit and try and get some Cavernous Souls and just like...
An Eldrazi Monument.
Yes, an Eldrazi Monument.
We're and Coat of Arms. Just throw all of the five mana artifacts in it.
Yeah, why not?
Just... Also, I'm not using my caverns, so you can...
Coat of Arms naming squirrels, Eldrazi Monument will kill you now.
Yep. And then that
Flying
is...
Squirrels. Flying squirrels.
That is the main deck short of the lands. I think I have 23 lands.
I've got more lands than
you. Like, fairly common for Nick Fit.
Yeah, 23 lands is...
How many basics?
I believe it's 9 basics.
So at least 2 for every veteran explorer.
Mm-hmm. 10 basics.
Good. Cool. Yeah, so you can draw one or two and then still have valid targets every time you veteran explore.
Yeah, although I think that's too many. Because as I've been playing, it's been too much. Just because of the variety of mana costs on my walkers.
So something that I talked about when I was discussing my deck is how... Your main board is so important in a best of five league style setting. Is there anything that you like kind of took into consideration knowing that you were going to be playing two games pre-board? Or is that you're just living wish all the time?
Yeah, so that's my contingency.
Okay.
Is wish package for everything.
Yeah.
Is the contingency.
So you just have access to your sideboard all the time. So it doesn't actually matter so much for you.
Right. I'm doing something different.
Sure.
It's different for sure. But yeah, so such the cool hangups one. I found with this is I probably want to go four of the red-green duels. I'm borrowing a Taiga. I have a Taiga of my own, and then a Stomping Ground. I really should have gone four.
You think so?
Yeah, because Orcish Lumberjack really needs a Taiga.
Critical mass of.
Yeah, well, he needs a Taiga, so that's the best thing I can do. Is I should have put four of those in there. But how much is Tabernacle?
$1,400. That's for a moderately played. Now, if you want
budget.
The highest it is gone right now is $1,900.
Yeah, sounds about right.
What set did that come in? Chronicles?
Legends?
Legends?
It's only in Legends.
Yep. Buy you a Legends pack.
The Italian ones are actually not terribly expensive. I mean, they're still just shy of a grand, which
That's still not budget.
It's not budget, no. But, I mean, like...
It's budget if you sell your collection and then add, like, $300.
Sure.
Yeah.
For one card.
No, I'd have to sell one of my decks.
No. Yeah. So my lands, because of the number of basics I have, I went with three Prismatic Vista. That's also because I don't have a lot of fetch lands that work with my color combination.
Right. What's the spread on your basics?
So we have four basic forest, two basic mountain, one basic island, three basic swamp. So heavy on green, heavy light on red because we have...
Three Taigas. Essentially. Three red-green duels.
Yeah, and we have Chandras and stuff that we'll need to be able to cast typically off the back of a veteran explorer. So search up two mountains so we can do the thing. But those are the 10 basics. We have three Prismatic Vistas to get the right one. One Scalding Tarn because it gets my blue or my red.
Which ones. Opens up, Tropical Island or Breeding Pool,
or
Taiga, or a basic.
Or Overgrown Tomb. So we
or
have,
Overgrown.
Yeah. We have Overgrown Tombs in here. Oh, yeah, that one doesn't get it. So we have to draw that one naturally. But still, we need black in the deck and green. So if we have turn one Overgrown Tomb into a veteran, that's fine too. And then we get to turn two Cabal Therapy with it. We have two Phyrexian Towers. Should have been three Hindsight, but we'll see how the rest of it goes.
I mean, realistically, we're going to be able to fire this league
again
immediately after.
All right, you're talking about changes you're thinking about right now that you would make. It's a homebrew and everything, but you have anything you would change in your deck for the next league? Are you thinking about?
Yeah, I'm not going to be playing four Terramanders next league. absolutely not. I love Terramander. I think Terramander is a fantastic Magic card. Terramander, I really like having Hooting Mandrels.
Right. Four Trample is a hell of a thing.
I think
a hell of a thing.
Yeah. I think next week I might wind up cutting green almost entirely out of the main board. I'm probably going to scrap the Hooting Mandrels and probably play... So lose the two Hooting Mandrels and probably cut down to two Terramanders and play... some number of Dreadhorde Arcanists and Young Pyromancers. That's kind of where Delver decks are moving currently in Legacy anyway, is more to like blue-red. Rug is kind of out of the...
Rug, it seems like it's more for the sideboard.
Yeah, it's less prevalent so much. You're losing...
You can still keep it for Veil of Summer.
Veil of Summer, Ancient Grudge. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of pretty neat green cards that I, as a lover of like green creatures and things like that, I'm not gonna forego green entirely. Veil of Summer is just like such a powerful Magic card. There's no reason not to run it if you can. And I own
a playset. You said,
well, I own a tropical island. I own two tropical islands of my own. So yeah, Rug Delver was easy because I had that. So. Yeah, I don't know. I think four Terramanders is too many, and it fights with Hooting Mandrels and Magmatic Sinkhole. So probably just bumping up Brazen Borrower. Brazen Borrower has been fantastic. That's such a cool card. It's so cool.
It's versatile.
It's very versatile.
And it does exactly what you need. It's a 3-1 in the air, and it removes a threat.
Yep. It removes so many things.
Mm-hmm. Puts them back of the hand, which is usually the most inconvenient spot.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you counter it again on the way down.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. If I couldn't counter it the first time, bounce it. I'll counter it this time. That's huge. So probably going to bump up to two Brazen Borrowers. I might leave Hoots because he's good. Blue Tombstalker is great, but there are a lot of things kind of fighting it in the deck currently. And only three Delve cards, it doesn't sound like a lot, but
it is when you need them.
It is. It's huge. Mm-hmm. It's pivotal and something as finicky as Legacy.
Right.
So...
There's also the option you could always hit Young Pyromancer in there at one or two.
Absolutely, yeah. I think Young PZ
is the right spot for that.
Is definitely a great call.
Or Dreadhorde Arcanist.
Dreadhorde Arcanist is cool, but Dreadhorde kind of changes the way that the deck functions.
Once again, Dreadhorde is going to fight with Hooting Mandrels, and it's going to fight with
Terramander as well. Yeah. And it also shifts the deck. Currently, the way that this is built, I'm sitting on the back foot. I'm waiting for you to do a thing.
You're a reactive deck, not a proactive deck.
Absolutely. Dreadhorde Arcanist is very proactive. Mm-hmm. I'm attacking you and then exiling a card on my graveyard so that I can do an effect right now. Be that Bolt You or Ponder or Brainstorm or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm sitting on some Vapor Snags and counter spells, and there's a lot of like sit and wait. I don't want to attack you with a Dreadhorde and then stifle what?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I don't think Dreadhorde's the way to go. No. I think Young PZ is good because it's just gonna boost your threat and give you a shorter clock.
Yep, absolutely.
Dreadhorde won't do that.
I'll make a couple of dudes and just kind of get in there. Yeah. So I think that's kind of where I'm gonna lead to. Caitlin. More to follow, but yeah. Caitlin.
Actually, I think I might cut the Eldrazi entirely and just run red.
Like mono red.
Atta girl.
Big stuff, prison style stuff.
Or do you think you'll go more of the Goblin Rabble Masters and Chandra's?
Yeah, that's really, a hell of a thing. I really, really want a Goblin deck to work, but it really doesn't.
There are a whole bunch. Well, no, like Legacy Goblins is a
Oh, scary.
My God, yeah. It's such a scary deck. There's mm-hmm. so many cool new goblins.
Yeah, kills you turn
munitions free. Expert?
I need four mm-hmm. goblin guides.
Let's talk about munitions expert. Goblin guide is cheap. Cheap, yeah. Goblin like guide 15, is, has been reprinted yeah. several times now. Twice.
You've got
but there
two,
was
you've got two printings.
There was the promo goblin guide as well.
Yeah, that's still expensive.
Not as expensive. The new goblin guides out of the modern masters is...
It's like $15.
Yeah.
It's cheaper than goblin guide is... been a very long time.
And I honestly it's convenient because
I actually like the modern masters art better. I don't like the little potbelly goblin motherfucker.
Oh, I like the promo goblin guide.
That's the promo goblin guide's good.
He's cross-armed looking at a map.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, that's original goblin guide. I like original goblin guide. This dumb
that's
potbelly
goblin.
That's
because you're a hedonist.
Yeah.
And you feel at home with the goblins.
I'm
no, I
possum.
I found a really good list that
getting
runs
a
one of Cranko in the main board and a second one in the sideboard, and I really want to run it.
I really like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
I just want to shit goblins all over the field and have people sit there behind my wall of goblins and be like, what you gonna do now?
Well, you could do that too with Mod Catcher Red. Play Mod Catcher on turn one. It's a 4-mana 2/2, I think. I used to play the deck. You pay 3 mana to search your deck for a goblin card and put it in play. And in that deck, you also play Blood Moons, Chalices, and you put into play Kiki Jiki to copy your Murderous Redcaps, or your Goblin Settlers to blow up lands, or any goblin, like Sting Scourger. You could put Cranko in and then just keep making more goblins.
So I really like Goblin Stompy. Trinispheres, Chalice of the Voids, Thorn of Amethyst. There's a whole bunch of like really crazy, maybe not Thorn. Thorn is non-creature spells, right?
Yeah, non-creatures.
So
no more.
You play Thorns, you play Trinispheres, you play all of the typical like big dumb tax effects. While cheating out like Goblin Settler and other dumb big goblin things like Mod Catcher, hell early off of the depletion lands, soul lands, and you just sit, you know, like
yeah.
It doesn't, if nothing in your deck costs less than 3, turn 1 Trinisphere, turn 2 Goblin Settler to blow up your land. And now we're gonna kill you slowly.
Yes.
With goblins, Mod Catcher. Here we go. Are you ready?
Are you
here
ready?
Here we go. We're doing it. It's fantastic. Do you remember a very long time ago, God, this was like 4 years ago, black dude in the army, Tim, I can't remember his last name. He was a really cool dude. He played Goblin Stompy in Legacy. And that was his game plan. Turn 1 Trinisphere, turn 2 Goblin Settler to blow up your land. What are you doing?
Nothing. I don't know if I remember that guy. Tim. Black guy, right?
Yeah, really cool dude.
Super I don't remember him chill. Playing goblins.
I can't remember his name.
He played Narset.
His last name.
His name was Tim.
Yeah, no, I can't remember his last name. Yeah, no, he played Narset. He played goblins. It was real
Narset
fun.
Narset cannon.
He was
surprised
super excited because he had picked up a playset of the foil red depletion lands specifically to play Goblin Stompy in Legacy, and I was man, I loved it.
Nice.
It's
yeah.
real scary. But that's a deck that you can do, and man, like regular goblins with Aether Vials and Cavern Souls, like you just get there. You can also play like Thalia's and dumb stuff in that deck because like it's just a big dumb, it's tribal deck.
Yeah.
Nope.
I think we're just ready.
Goblin Matron to go get Tar Fire. Yo, it works! It works! It's so good! It's so strangely good! A vial and a goblin matron and grab this tar fire. Kill your thing with it.
The rest of my lands are 2 taigas, 1 borrowed, 1 not. A stomping ground, a breeding pool, because I don't have 2 trops, and a trop. Good times.
That's a cool list you got there, man.
It's so much fun.
I do.
Fucking love your legacy list.
I do too. Next time it'll be better.
I'm sad to hear that you're not doing well in the league. But I'm excited to see how you do in the league.
I love you, but after seeing how much a tabernacle is, I'm not buying you one of those.
I wasn't expecting you ever to buy me a tabernacle.
No, that's...
Not until we hit the lotto. No, I'll just buy it myself.
Seeing it at $1,800, I was like, ugh.
You want a wedding ring or a tabernacle? Tabernacle, please.
Right?
Wedding rings are superficial. Tabernacles are forever. And that's how you get the girl, guys.
Buy her a tabernacle.
Buy her a tabernacle at Pendrevale.
It's...
Put it in a box and present it to her.
You know
better
what?
Than a wedding ring.
You know what? And bitches love libraries. Get her a Library of Alexandria, too, while you're at it.
Fuck yes. I would love that. Let's do that.
Is that the official take of Still No Mox?
Yes.
Yeah.
Buy her a tabernacle and a library, and she should be set for life.
When you say library, do you mean like Library of Len?
No.
I'm not even willing to buy myself a tabernacle. I'm definitely not.
Well, you have to have matching ones, right? That's the thing about rings and whatnot. A tabernacle's worth more than your car.
Does that make you sad?
Shut the fuck up.
I think a tabernacle's worth more than my car currently.
Oh. It is not worth more than my car at its current state.
Well, so a tabernacle is worth more than I'm willing to pay for my car. It's not worth... My car is worth more than that, but not by much. And I'm not willing to buy or pay for either.
I mean, shit, you can walk to work. You live close enough.
Yeah, I'm gonna get a bike.
There you go. Sell your car, buy a tabernacle, and get a bike.
I was gonna get a bike, and then I remembered... how truly terrifying being on Bragg Boulevard
and a bike is. Yeah.
I'm afraid on Bragg Boulevard in my car. I was almost hit twice today on Bragg Boulevard.
And you only have to be on it for like almost a quarter mile.
Yep. I am on Bragg Boulevard every day for a grand total of like 4 minutes. And that is to and from work and usually like somewhere in between as well. Bragg Boulevard sucks. That's my hot take.
Thank you, ladies, gentlemen, zers.
I do appreciate you being inclusive.
Yeah, man, no problem.
All everybody, thank you for listening, for taking the time.
Hanging out with squirrels.